InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Alex Jones Show, InfoWars.com, band.video. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Please make sure you're following us on X at RealAlexJones, at InfoWars. I'm at Harrison A. Smith. Absolutely huge show we have for you this Friday morning. I'm going to be here for 1 hour. Gavin McGinnis is going to take over for me, then Dark Journalist, and then finishing out with the great Jay Dyer. So just a gigantic show for you here today. And things are getting a little dicey out there, folks, when it comes to the Iran war. Iran is fighting everyone. Iran, it's Iran versus the world at this point. And the Arab countries are not happy about things, how things are going. The oil, you know, energy aspect of this conflict is only getting worse. And Israel seems to be doing everything it can to make it difficult for America, including getting very close and menacing some Russian military installments that would inevitably bring Russia into the conflict. Wouldn't exactly be, you know, out of line for Israel to try to get us into more trouble than we're already in, than they've already gotten us in. Again, we'll go over all of it. Netanyahu is apparently alive, came out and gave a speech where he blasphemes Christ and blames America for the war, and you should have just stayed dead, dude. You should have just told everybody you were dead, because the speech he gave has made it so much worse now. But I think we'll look into it. We'll see if we can't figure out exactly what he's trying to say, in perhaps not the most appropriate way. But we're sort of on the cusp here. I mean, we're 3 weeks in, right? It was Friday night, Saturday morning, 3 weeks ago that this conflict began with the sneak attack, combo sneak attack by Israel and America on behest of Israel, obviously. And Joe Kent's resignation continues to, you know, make waves. And we'll show you some clips from some more interviews and speeches he's done. But it's been 3 weeks. This is still the very beginning. It might feel like it's gone on forever. 3 weeks is a long time to be bombing the hell out of each other. But we are still in the very, very, very early stages of what could very well be a multi-year war, I guess. We still have time. We still have time to pull out. We still have time to go, hey, this was a big mistake, y'all. Whoopsies, our bad. Let's see if we can't get back to normal. Now, I don't even know if that's possible right now, and we'll explain that when we have explained it, but there's been some more developments in this. Iran is not going to stop. Iran doesn't want to stop. Iran is actually incentivized. It's actually a sort of existential thing for them. They have to keep going. They have to establish deterrence. They cannot just go back to a situation in which Israel, quote, mows the lawn with Iran like they do with Gaza and Lebanon. So it's not going to end anytime soon. Iran seems to be threatening absolutely everybody who even is remotely involved. I mean, in just the last 24 hours, Iran has directly threatened Britain and Germany and has made demands for explanations as to why America is allowed to use their bases. I still think we could do it. I still think we're still early enough in this conflict. We still don't have American boots on the ground. We haven't had dozens and dozens and dozens of flag-draped caskets come home, so we're not feeling some sort of pressure to make their death worth it. We still have time. Right now, we still have time. By the time this weekend is over, it may be too late. We are on the cusp of this thing becoming something that we cannot pull back from the brink. We haven't gone over quite yet. It's been bad. It hasn't been catastrophic and world-ending, but it's about to be. If this goes on for another few days, it's over. We'll break it down for you on the other side. Stay with us, folks.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just, I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra methylene blue, 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 blue. I mean, this is just bonker town. I know, I love it. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra methylene blue, 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 blue. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it.
This stuff works.
Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, this is Infowars, the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex for the first hour. Then Gab McGinnis will be taking over for me. Dark Journalist will take over from him. And then we'll finish out the show with Jay Dyer. So absolutely all-star cast for today's broadcast of The Alex Jones Show. And what a show it's going to be, folks. Everything is heating up rapidly when it comes to Iran. I do believe that we are like really on the cusp of not being able to put the brakes on this thing. I don't think it's too far. I think right now, if we really wanted, if we were really ready to maybe make some concessions, which is what you have to do when you make a terrible mistake and start a fight that you can't win. Sorry, maybe we have to remove some bases from the Middle East. Whoops, whoopsie daisy. Maybe we have to stop some sanctions on Iran. Oh, well, better than ending the world in World War III. It's better than tens of thousands of American soldiers dying in some godforsaken oil field in the Middle East, so that suddenly the American people are demanding vengeance and we're just stuck in this cycle forever. Do y'all remember back at the beginning of the Ukraine war, very early on in the Ukraine war? I think Russia blew up a dam. Maybe it was Ukraine. Somebody blew up a dam and it flooded this giant field and it washed away a layer of topsoil. And it actually revealed long buried bodies of soldiers from World War II. And there was this moment where at the very beginning of the Ukraine war, it was as if the skeletons of the past were literally rising out of the ground and screaming at us to not take the same path they did. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a more like a Hollywood movie fantasy-esque thing in reality, where you literally had skulls looking like they were screaming, emerging up out of the ground. Crew, you got to find them. Ukraine, German skulls coming up out of the ground in Ukraine in the very beginning of the war. I feel like that's kind of where we are now. Once again, and really, you know, the Ukraine war has only spiraled out and become the Iran war. I mean, from the drone warfare to the alliances and allegiances between Russia and Syria and Iran and Ukraine. I mean, it's all one big thing. But I feel like we're human beings. We have the ability to predict the future and then alter our actions to change that future. Right now, our future is fields of death, is fields strewn with bones and carrion birds feasting for decades. Like, that's the trajectory we're on. That's the train track we are headed down. We can flip the switch and jump to a different track at any point. These are decisions being made by people in power who know perfectly well what the outcome is going to be. That's the reason they're doing it. So the thing to understand, the thing we have to get through to people, the thing that I think is important about Joe Kent resigning and all of the, you know, revelations that have occurred in the recent past, we have to stop them. We have to stop them. We have to stop them. They are not going to stop themselves. They cannot be reasoned with. They have set the world on a path towards total destruction, and we have to forcibly remove ourselves from that path. Right now, I can't tell you how many headlines I have. U.S. to deploy thousands of additional troops to the Middle East, officials say. Let's not do that. Just don't do that. How about we just don't do that? And that's the better option. Like, there's like a million things, million decisions to be made, where on one hand, the result is inevitably, incontrovertibly, like it will result in some large proportion of those soldiers dying. And then we're in it, and we're in it forever. And then we have to make it worth it for that sacrifice. That's why they're being sent. You understand? The thing to understand, these are not patriotic Americans trying to figure out what's best for America, and damn it, they just keep accidentally getting us into war. That's not what's happening here. You think they didn't know the Strait of Hormuz would be closed? You think they didn't know that by bombing the actually kind of moderate religious leader, the Pope of Shia Islam, you think they didn't know that that would galvanize support behind the government? You think these people are stupid? You think these people know less than me, and I just read the mainstream media? Yet I knew all this was going to happen. I predicted this somehow. Everybody listening to me probably knew exactly how this would unfold. You think that they didn't know? They knew, which is why they did it. The horrible outcome for America and the world that at this point is inevitable from the course that we're taking in Iran is the point of the attack. You ever watch The Sopranos? Do you remember the storyline where a guy named Davies owns a athletic store and he's in a big debt to Tony Soprano and they bust out the store? It's called a bust out, where they take the store over, use the store's credit lines to rack up gigantic expenses that they never intend to pay off, so that when the bill comes due, it's Davies Scatino and the athletic store that gets the hit, not the mobsters that just raped. That's what's happening to America. The Israeli mafia is performing a bust out on America, where they use America to the maximum degree, right? Just like you use the store's credit, they've got good credit. You can buy a lot of stuff with that credit that you never intend on paying off. That's what they're doing with America. America's power, America's prosperity is being used to the maximum degree, with the ultimate purpose being the absolute destruction of America in service to building up Israel in the Middle East, which will become the central command headquarters of the global government. That's always been the plan since before World War II, and World War III was always supposed to be the capstone of this operation. That's what we're in right now. That's what's happening right now. Okay? We are Davies Scatino. Our bad idea, our addiction to the gambling of Middle East wars has gotten us in hock to the Israeli mafia, and they are busting us out. That's how it works. Okay? So just so we understand, none of this is an accident. None of it is just people doing their best and trying their hardest, and oh, darn it, everybody's dead. Whoops, whoopsie daisy. Nope, it's happening on purpose, obviously. And finally, and I think in part, at least due to Joe Kent's resignation, from Politico, U.S. acknowledges gaps with Israel on Iran war objectives. An Israeli attack on a major Iranian gas facility Wednesday night appeared to open fresh fissure in the coordination between the two allies. Again, they're trying to portray this as if it's a new thing. I mean, the whole war started because Israel got us into the conflict. Again, it's absurd that we even have to have this argument, since it's imminently observable to everybody. I mean, it's like Israel getting America into war with Iran is kind of this PSYOPs version of COVID came from the wet market, right? It's like, do we even have to argue this? You have a weapons for bio lab, a level 4 bioweapons lab in Wuhan, China, with a history of severe safety protocol failures. And then a little way down the road, you have a farmer's market where they sell weird animals to eat. And it's like, you're telling me that you actually believe it came from the farmer's market? You're telling me that when you look at the epicenter of the virus and you see a levels 4 weapons lab, bioweapons lab run by incompetent communists, and a farmer's market, you go with the farmer's market on this one? Really? really, we have to actually talk about this. This actually has to be a topic of conversation. We actually have to sit here while the big-brained experts in the mainstream media and the policy experts in the government actually tell us, we think it came from a farmer's market. We don't know, but we think the most likely thing is that it came from a farmer's market. Are we doing this, really? We have to sit here and hear people argue about whether or not Israel got us into war. Israel got us into the war. It's not a matter of conversation. It's just an established and acknowledged fact by all of the people that were there. They've admitted it verbatim. So just what are we doing? Why do we have to keep doing this? Why are we constantly in these situations where it's just like, how do they get these lies to spread like this? It's crazy. It's almost admirable. Like, you have to, it's astonishing. It's like something that you have to behold to believe. By the way, the world's first meme has passed away, unfortunately. Chuck Norris was hospitalized and has now passed away in Hawaii at the age of 86. Almost symbolic in the passing of the old America, the America in which our, you know, male role models were actually, you know, vaguely masculine. Walker, Texas Ranger. And of course, I don't know if anybody remembers this. I was 14 at the time that Chuck Norris jokes became a thing. And I swear to you, it was the funniest thing we'd ever heard. Y'all might not remember the more innocent time of the internet when Chuck Norris jokes were literally the funniest thing anybody had ever heard. I remember crying with laughter when somebody told me that Chuck Norris once took down an airplane by pointing his finger like a gun and saying bang. It was the funniest thing we'd ever heard. It was hysterical. And I swear, I think it was like the first meme. It was the first, like, joke format that just got repeated and people made their own versions of it and it spread around. And it was these jokes about Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris can tie his shoes with his feet. And it was just Chuck Norris is the strongest, coolest guy ever. And again, it's just sort of interesting in the history of the internet, you know, where these things popped up. And I don't know, for me, it was like, 2002 to 2004, it was like all that stuff. It was the beginning of YouTube and the Chuck Norris jokes. Chuck Norris narrates Morgan Freeman's life. When Chuck Norris eats, he gives the food nutrients. Chuck Norris can unscramble a scrambled egg. I mean, they might seem cliche. This might, for our younger viewers, this is very boomer coded. Trust me, it was the funniest thing we'd ever heard. Y'all remember Star Wars Kid? That was another one. That was like, this is the funniest thing we've ever seen. You're spoiled now. You don't understand what it was like back then. The dearth of content and what we as Americans had to cling on to. But there was a reason, because Chuck Norris was the real deal. He was, once again, like, sort of almost the last. Chuck Norris doesn't read books. He stares them down until he gets the information he wants. He was like the last in this line of like truly masculine, hardcore, Texan role models that Hollywood used to produce. This used to be the type of people that they wanted you looking up to. Strong, stoic, hardcore, physically capable, badass. Now we get Pedro Pascal and Timothy Chalamet. Even his name sounds gay. Chalamet. Now we want Chuck Norris, please. Thank you, please, and thank you. And he was a great man, very faithful, like just a good dude, right? He's not a dude that's going to get wrapped up in the Me Too movement. He's not a dude that's going to, be wearing a dress on the red carpet. He's not a dude that's going to be, celebrating abortion or anything of the sort. He's a guy. He's one of these guys like Clint Eastwood or any of these other guys that he was the person he portrayed. He really was the faithful, but, stoic American. And it's almost symbolic that he, passes away at a time when the culture that produced him is long gone. Let's go to clip number 6 here. This is Chuck Norris telling his own Chuck Norris joke. Let's watch.
And I bent down and I petted him. And all of a sudden, you heard this, like that. So the trainer says, get up very slowly and back up. So the tiger did. He slowly got up and backed out.
So, God rest his soul. We pray for his family and fondly remember not just Chuck Norris, but the age of America that he represents and that we will reestablish, God willing, one way or the other. Now, we got a lot of videos to get to. Of course, the Joe Kent resignation continues to be one of the most monumental, I think, political movements in American history. And you're seeing the way that the reaction to the Israeli war has changed because of his announcement. Again, it's absurd that we even have to make the argument about whether or not Israel got us into this war. Marco Rubio said it. Donald Trump said it multiple times. The UK attaché that was there at the negotiations said it. Iran said it. I mean, everybody has said it. And yet, we're all supposed to pretend that it's not true. Okay? Crazy that we're in this situation, but there we are. But Joe Kent has resigned over this fact and has made this fact a central pillar in his resignation letter, explaining not only that Israel got us into war with Iran, but that Israel has essentially performed a total coup of the federal government. And it's not just the Iran war that they're behind instigating. They also have put a stop to major investigations that the American government was trying to carry out because it may have implicated Israelis or Jewish Americans. This is a coup against the American state. It is foreign influence over and beyond anything, even the most wild and fantastical claims of the Russiagate conspiracy. This is so much worse. And the war that we are now in, because of their manipulation, because of their machinations, because of their influence, blackmail, coercion, infiltration, and subversion, could very well destroy the world as we know it. And we're certainly on that path. And we only seem to be escalating because we have not yet extricated the poison from us. The Iran war is a symptom of the sickness. The sickness is the Israeli influence here in America. The Iran war and the Iraq war and the Gaza genocide, these are all the cancer that we've developed. The cell phone tower emitting the cancer-causing radiation, that's the Israeli influence here in America. That's the cause of it. So we can keep trying to treat the cancer, but until we take out the gigantic EMF thing poisoning us and giving us tumors, we're just going to keep having cancer. Cancer's going to keep developing and going to keep getting worse. So like right now, a lot of us are waking up to the fact that we have this sickness, that we have this poison destroying us. We have to solve that first. Then we'll be able to solve the Iran war. Like, that's how crazy it is. We almost have to solve this problem in order to solve the Iran war problem. Because once again, people in Israel, people in America, people controlling these countries who are in fact one in the same, don't want America to get out of this, don't want America to benefit from this. They are telling you over and over again that America is a dying empire. The part they leave out is because they're killing it and they're replacing it with their own empire in the Middle East. I've showed you clips over and over again, verbatim, where they say, America is the dying empire. You should all leave. I left. I went to Israel, the rising empire, and I brought my billions of dollars of investment with me. Okay? They're doing this to us with our own weapons, our own money, our own resources. We have to extricate them. That's what makes Joe Kent's revelation about all of this so important, so monumental, and really what should be so historic. I mean, the last thing we need is for this to be revealed and then nothing done about it, and it just continues until we're destroyed. Let's go to clip 14 here. This is Joe Kent on Scott Horton's show talking about who started this war. Let's watch.
I saw this, but there's this interesting article at Politico. This is from the day before the war on Thursday. It says, the White House officials believe the politics were a lot better if Israel strikes Iran first. And this was essentially the idea was an agreement between the Americans and the Israelis to have Israel hit Iran first in order to force Iran to hit America so that they could tell the American people, see, well, they hit us and gave us no choice but to do this. And apparently they decided not to do that. This is very reminiscent, actually, of the David Wormser plan in 2007, where he and Cheney wanted to get the Ehud Olmert government to attack Iran and force Iran to hit American interests in the Gulf as an end run around W. Bush to force him to do it. In this case, it's Trump and his guys trying to do an end run around us, apparently, or at least that was the idea. But my point being that even though they didn't implement this plan, it seems to put the lie to the idea that Netanyahu is like the snarling pit bull that Trump could not hold on to his leash, rather than they bumped fists and decided to do this together.
White House officials believe the politics are a lot better if Israel strikes Iran first. As the administration mulls military action in Iran, officials argue it would be best if Israel makes the first move. Again, as if Israel and America are just like one in the same, as if we and they are just like two, you know, branches of the same government. It's just, we are, do not have their same interest. We have interests of our own that are often at odds with Israeli interests. Israel doesn't give a damn. They don't care. They're happy to sacrifice America to their own ends. And that's exactly what we're seeing happening. And it really just goes on and on. We can go to clip number 13 here. This is John Bolton, terrorist mustache, explaining the American plot against Iran, and we still think we're the good guys. Let's watch John Bolton, humanitarian.
What I do believe is that if the administration cooperated with the opposition, provided them resources, telecommunications, equipment, money, weapons if they need it, working with the ethnic groups, working with people all across the country who are so dissatisfied with this regime, and also looking to find defectors within the regime, army generals, for example, who might see the need to get rid of this regime if the economy in the country is ever going to recover, and working that way to help pull the regime apart at the top, cause splits within the leadership, after, by the way, eliminating much of the leadership, and cause it to collapse internally. I think that can happen. And at some point, people can come out on the streets. But after they just found 30,000 people massacred in January, they're not going to come out in the streets for some time yet. But there's plenty of work to do to undermine the regime that you don't need to be out on the street.
So there's John Bolton just giving you the play-by-play of how to, you know, overthrow a country if you're, you know, an evil subversive parasite. That's how you do it. You weaponize the, ethnic minorities. You cause a crisis of trust in the leadership. You murder the, you know, more reasonable leadership, so only the radicals are in charge. And then you get 30,000 people who would have helped you overthrow the government. You get them all murdered by the government. Of course, I don't think that even happened in the first place. But everything that we're hearing is lie. If you'll notice on that video, the chyron, the lower third there, says Trump says no troops in Iran. But I've got four headlines today saying we're moving thousands of troops to the Middle East. Because everything is wrong. Everything is inverted. Everything is a lie. It's the empire of lies.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where put in the salt, IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004, but I got blown up in Iraq. I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesshow.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesshow.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theolivestore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexjonesshow.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, Reverend, please come quick.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Harrison Smith. I, of course, normally host The War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. here on Infowars.com, band.video. Rex Jones will be taking it over for me tonight, or this afternoon, rather. I'll be with you here for the remainder of this hour. Then Gavin McGinnis is going to take over from me. Dark Journalist takes over from him later in the show. And then finally, Jay Dyer rounds out this all-star cast of guest hosts for The Alex Jones Show today. There is, you know, a lot of domestic news to talk about. Like, there's a lot of news that's sort of going under the radar because of all the attention on Iran. But it's kind of like, well, I'm going to miss some emails when my house is on fire, right? I'm going to leave some people on red when I'm trying to put the house fire out. So that's sort of where we're at this point, okay? So there is some interesting stuff happening. Myocarditis has been found only in COVID-vaxxed kids, according to a new study. That story's from the Postmillennial. It was published just this month, looking into the effects of the COVID vaccine, which was in and of itself yet another. You know, this is the problem, is that, like, before we can really handle in an appropriate way the world-ending crimes against humanity we've all been subjected to over the last 10 years, they just launch another campaign of just insane crimes against us, and we have to deal with that all of a sudden. So we're not forgetting. It has been put on the back burner, but this is why, you know, we were encouraging with such intensity moves against these people early on, because if you don't, you know, punish the Anthony Faucis and James Comeys out there right now, and we're going to go to war with Iran, and by the time we, you know, get around to talking about COVID again, they'll all be old men who have avoided their just desserts. So we got to not forget to punish these people. We got to not forget about the Epstein list. We got to not forget about all of these, again, just crimes against humanity, horrific, like, war crimes that we ourselves have been subjected to, and that the criminals who perpetrated on them are out there walking around with billions of dollars that they made from their attacks on us. So we should deal with that. We should deal with that with alacrity. Federal vaccine panel in disarray after judge blocks changes, because, of course, the tyranny of the judges continues. Slovenia urges the EU to probe reports that Israeli spies meddled in their election race. Slovenia's Prime Minister Robert Golob has urged EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen to investigate accusations that Israeli spy firm Black Cube interfered in the country's election campaign, according to a letter obtained by Politico. Quote, such interference by a foreign private company poses a clear hybrid threat against the EU and its member states, which negatively impacts or potentially threatens our common values, procedures, and political processes, Golob wrote. Well, that's assuming that the values you espouse are in any way related to the ones you actually represent, which it's not. It's not true. You're all tyrannical scumbags for whom democracy is nothing but a convenient word to deploy to trick people into doing what is bad for them. U.S. territory-turned tropical maternity ward has procured thousands of American babies for parents living in China. Pregnant Chinese women have turned a tropical paradise into a maternity ward, pumping out babies who automatically become U.S. citizens daily. The Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Island, a U.S. territory northeast of Guam in the Pacific Ocean, has been flooded with so-called birth tourists since 2009, when then-President Barack Obama introduced a visa waiver program for Chinese nationals. Why? I guess. Why would we do this? Why would America do this? Why would Barack Obama establish a little island just off the coast of China that was technically American territory so that anybody who's Chinese can come to the island, give birth on our dime, go back to China, but their kid just has American citizenship? Why? Why would we do that? What would be the point of that? How would that be consistent with anything America values, our national security? Just why? Why do we do this? Why do we allow this to happen? What the hell? Since 2009, okay, so the last several decades, there's just been a continual stream of Chinese people giving birth to Chinese babies on Guamish. I don't know, what do you call people from Guam? Guamish land? So some Chinese people go to Guam to have a baby and they're American somehow by that fact? Okay, great. We just stop doing all of this? Like, my God. Every day there's headlines. It's like we're no longer doing something that we should never have done. It's ridiculous. It's ever yesterday there was, you know, they're going to remove 200,000 CDL driver's licenses from people that don't speak English. It's like, why the hell do 200,000 foreigners who don't even speak our language, can't even read our street signs, driving around 10-ton trucks next to our families? What the hell are we doing here? Okay, we could spend all show on that if we wanted. U.S. sues Harvard over treatment of Jewish and Israeli students, seeks billions of dollars. Well, thank God, finally somebody's thinking of the Jews. Won't somebody please think of the poor, innocent Jews? Comey has been subpoenaed in an alleged, quote, grand conspiracy against Trump. Well, this is good news. Or, sorry, let me rephrase. This would have been good news in March of last year. Former FBI Director James Comey has been subpoenaed in the wide-ranging grand conspiracy case against the ex-officials who investigated and prosecuted President Trump, two sources with the knowledge of the situation tell Axios. The investigation has produced more than 130 subpoenas since cranking up last year, the sources say, and the top target and targets top officials who worked under former President Obama and Biden. The officials, including Comey, have all decried the investigation as political prosecution and lawfare. The Trump administration's grand conspiracy theory posits that Democratic officials bent the rules, broke the law, and lied under oath to investigate, prosecute, and otherwise undermine Trump from his election in 2016 through his federal indictments in 2023. Yes, they probably came to that conclusion by simply observing reality, watching that exact thing take place in front of all of us with no even attempt to like really cover it up that much. That's the craziest part, because you remember the whole Russiagate conspiracy was all predicated on the fact they thought Hillary Clinton would win, so they didn't even try to hide their tracks. I mean, since 2016, we've had texts from Peter Strzok describing the investigation that the FBI carried out as insurance against an eventual Trump win. So it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? We're still doing this, are we? Okay. Again, I could go, you know, we could spend all day on that. We could spend all day just carefully documenting the timeline of Comey's corruption up to and including like last year when his family friend was the one who was supposed to indict him and just happened to not pull the trigger and not file things exactly on time until they were 5 days away from the statute of limitations expiring, at which time Trump finally realized what was going on, put his own lawyer in to get the indictment, which he did in 5 days, which means, I've explained this before, but think about this. They assigned a lawyer at the DOJ. They said, your job is to indict James Comey. Okay. He spent like 6 months doing nothing, not filing anything, delaying and saying, oh, well, we're trying. We're almost there. We're working on it. Okay. We had some delays, but we're trying to get it through. For 6 months, he works on a James Comey indictment, doesn't even file it. Yet this is his job and he's an expert on this. This is what he does. And he's done it before, these types of filings, these types of indictments, these types of grand jury investigations. He doesn't do it. 5 days before the statute of limitations expires, Trump finally realizes what's going on, says that guy's out. He's married to like James Comey's goddaughter. I mean, like really close connections. That's not exactly it, but basically, actually, I think that is it. Anyway, basically family, friends, like as close as you can be without being blood related. That's how close he was to Comey. He's the expert. He doesn't get it done in 6 months. Trump puts in his own personal lawyer who's never done anything like this before. She gets the indictment in 5 days. Do you understand that that's not possible if the guy wasn't trying, if the family friend of James Comey wasn't deliberately messing up? Like, he's the one who's supposed to do this. He's the expert. He's done it before. He can't do it in 6 months, but a total amateur lawyer can do it in 5 days. That was deliberate. That guy himself should have then been charged with obstruction of justice. That's the way you deal with this stuff. If you tell somebody to go after a criminal and that person in league with the criminal does not go after him and allows him to get away with it, delays until the statute of limitation expires, that person now has to be added to the conspiracy. That didn't happen. And then a judge came in and said, well, because Trump's lawyer has never done this before, it doesn't count. And I'm throwing it out. That's the way they're manipulating this. Again, I could spend 3 hours every single day documenting the machinations behind the scenes about how they're screwing us in that regard. Finally, San Diego City Council adopts controversial definition of anti-Semitism. This, of course, is the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, in which basically you're not allowed to criticize Jews. And if Jews even feel, you know, in their own objective view, scared by what you said, then you are guilty of anti-Semitism and may go to jail for years. So these anti-Semitism laws, which are pure and simple, they are religious supremacy laws that are an abject violation of the First Amendment. You do not have a right as a ethnic group or a religion to dictate how people talk about you, what they can say about you. You're not allowed to censor people on that basis. Yet that is what's happening, because we do, in effect, live in a Jewish theocracy. We just don't acknowledge it or call it that. But that is what's happening, and they're doing it at the national level, obviously. They're doing it at the international level with the UN and other international bodies with the, you know, ability to enforce this stuff. They're doing it at the state level in places like Florida, Ohio, and Michigan, passing these anti-Semitism laws incrementally, getting piece by piece built up until it will be all but illegal to criticize Jewish people or even reference the words of Jewish people. I showed the video in the Eighth Front. Randy Fine called for all Palestinians to be killed. A constituent of his tweeted out, hey, this Randy Fine guy says all Palestinians should be killed. That's disgusting. Then the police went to her door, knocked on her door, and said, you might not want to post things like that. It could be perceived as a call to violence. So Randy Fine says all Palestinians should die. This woman says, that's disgusting. The police go to that person's door and say, calling that disgusting could be seen as a call to violence. People could believe you that it is disgusting, and they might want to take action into their own hands, and they'll go hurt Randy Fine. So you're not allowed to think that him calling for the death of all Palestinians is disgusting. You have to keep that to yourself. That's where things are going. And so now it's happening at the city level as well, with individual cities like San Diego passing their own version of, you know, the destruction of the First Amendment on the altar of Judaism. Okay, so let's talk about Iran. The level of propaganda when it comes to Iran, it's not like the Soviets, it's not like North Korea. It is at that level of deception. We are at that level of blatant abject lies. We are at the Orwellian, we have always been at war with Iran, we have always been at war with East Asia kind of thing, to the point that, like, I'm not even sure people realize what they're saying. I had a video yesterday, I didn't actually get to it, but it's a thing you'll hear a lot, that Iran has wanted to kill America and has been at war with America for 47 years. No, they haven't. That's just not true. Then I heard a guy, this is the video I was going to show yesterday, he says Iran has been behind every terror attack in 47 years. Iran has been behind. In other words, because Iranian proxies exist, therefore, every act of terror, I guess specifically Islamic terror, in the last 47 years is all being blamed on Iran. That would mean 9/11 is being blamed on Iran. For some reason, we destroyed Afghanistan and Iraq, even though they didn't have anything to do with 9/11. The Israelis had to do with 9/11. The Saudi Arabians had to do with 9/11. But now we're teamed up with the Israelis and the Saudi Arabians to attack Iran because we're blaming them for 9/11. I mean, when you say every terror attack for the last 47 years has been blamed on Iran, that is Orwellian. That is insane. That is an insane claim to make, because they're rewriting history. So while we went to war with Afghanistan and Iraq for two decades, I guess we were just mistaken. We were just wrong. That was just the wrong target. We should have been going after Iran the whole time. Or are they now going back and just saying all of the same excuses that we used to go to war with Iraq, actually the exact same excuses now apply to Iran? Not like similar, not like, oh, they were the sponsor of terror and now Iran is. No, no. All the terror attacks like 9/11, the bombing of the trains in Barcelona and the UK, all of those terror attacks that we used to get us into war with Iraq, all of those same terror attacks, those are now being blamed on Iran. The exact same ones. Do you understand, like, how Orwellian and insane that truly is? And that's happening right now in real life. People are actually saying in total sincerity that Iran is responsible for all of the terror attacks in the last 47 years. Again, I used to read Orwell and think it was crazy. The first time I read 1984, I thought there's no way people would be holding a protest and destroying their own signs that they made with their own hands. And they turn around and say, somebody sabotaged my sign. But, like, that's where we are. That's where we are. We are in Orwell's empire of lies. And they're not even good at it. They're not even sophisticated at it. They're just lying with abandon at the moment because it seems like the most convenient way to get out of the conversation. And then they say the exact opposite to the next person that corners them. It's crazy. And so I'm going through headlines today, and it's like Iran hits Kuwait refinery. Israel kills Iranian guard spokesman as war rages on. Gulf allies fuming at Israel. Recriminations fly as Iran war spreads to gas fields. Escalating attacks on Gulf energy assets plunge Iran war into new phase. America's friends must help extricate it from an unlawful war, say the the diplomats from Oman, U.S. to deploy thousands of additional troops. Just like everything's collapsing, everybody's yelling at each other, Iran's threatening everybody. Then from WhiteHouse.gov, Americans agree Operation Epic Fury is an overwhelming success. It's an overwhelming success, everyone, and we all agree, they're telling us. You know, it's like, is this what it was like to live in the Soviet Union? Is that what this feels like? Is that the feeling I'm experiencing right now? When it doesn't matter who you ask, how you ask them, nobody thinks this war is going well. It's like absolutely insane that literally every headline I read is about what a monumental and horrifying disaster Iran is, only for the White House itself to put out a statement that's not just positive, it's like overwhelmingly positive. It's glowing. It's congratulating itself for its, quote, overwhelming success. And it's just like, this isn't even convincing. This just makes you seem insane. What are you talking about, the White House? Under decisive leadership of President Donald J. Trump, Operation Epic Fury is delivering overwhelming, devastating success against the world's leading state sponsor of terror. Is it because Tel Aviv is being destroyed relentlessly? And every single person I've ever seen interviewed about this, with sort of man on the street style interview, says the same thing. Let's go to clip number 9 here. This is a Florida fisherman. Hey, if I had to pick one location and profession, that would probably be the most likely to be MAGA. I think Florida plus fishermen is like the best combination you could go for. I bet they love the war in Iran, right? Let's watch.
What are we really doing there besides raising our prices? Make America great again. We're tearing America apart right now. And it's sad because it's the working class people that are suffering the most.
Okay, well, whoops. All right, that's a big miss with that one. But it's a big miss with everybody. But everybody asked about this. Is somewhere on the spectrum between just like feeling depressed and sad and betrayed and furious and revolutionary and like very, very, very mad. Though that's the spectrum of real American reaction to this. Now, overlaid on top of that, standing in front of that, blocking the view of that, is the very small sliver of Israeli Americans who are just thrilled by what's going on. They're so happy and they're so desperate to make everybody else think that everybody else thinks that this is great. It's not working. Because they're evil. Because they're bad. Because what's happening here is incontrovertibly damaging to America and our people and our economy and our place in the world. And also it's, you know, killing a ton of innocent people, and we're not big fans of that. But that kind of sets us apart. Let's go to clip number 16 here. This is Benjamin Netanyahu, our greatest ally, who's totally alive, by the way. And okay, so yesterday he had a press conference where there wasn't actually any journalists there, but the video came out and it looks very real. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu sort of schooling us ignorant goy about how the world works. Let's watch.
Also wrote the lessons of history. Very brief, 100-page book in which he said, well, history proves that, unfortunately and unhappily, Jesus Christ has no advantage over Genghis Khan. Because if you are strong enough, ruthless enough, powerful enough, evil will overcome good. Aggression will overcome moderation. So you have no choice. If you look at the world as it is today, you have to be blind not to see that the democracies led by the United States have to reassert their will to defend themselves and to oppose their enemies in time, while there's still time, before the jarring gong of danger wakes them up and wakes them up too late. This is where we are now. Okay. The fact that people don't
so that's,
see
so that's
that.
That's Benjamin Netanyahu, being blasphemous, insulting Christ, basically saying that Jesus Christ has no advantage over Genghis Khan. Of course, this is historically illiterate. Who stopped the Golden Horde? Who stopped the Mongols? It was the Christians. It was the prince kings of the Kievan Rus that put a stop to them. So, just wrong factually. Also, where's Genghis Khan now? Where's his empire? Oh, it completely dissolved into chaos and misery and infighting the moment he died, because he built nothing, because evil can't build anything. It can only destroy, obviously. He quotes Will Durant, who wrote the Civilization series, which is absolutely fantastic. He may have been talking about an advantage Genghis Khan enjoys against Jesus Christ. Immediately in a fight to the death, in terms of civilizational well-being, Genghis Khan is cancer and Jesus Christ is a big healthy meal, okay? So again, just on the face of it, it's like you have to recognize that is the mindset of Benjamin Netanyahu. In a way, he's right, not in the way that he intends. In a way, he is correct. It is our softness. It is that we have allowed ourselves to be fooled into believing that Christianity and Jesus Christ represents rolling over and allowing yourself to be taken advantage of. That was never the case before about 70 years ago, okay? That was never the worldview or the mindset of Christian kingdoms that had no issue about defending itself ruthlessly, because you have to, because Christianity creates really beautiful systems of like mutual cooperation and mutual benefit, mutual well-being and charity. And that's a really great thing. It's a really wonderful thing. Its key weakness is its vulnerability to bad actors like the Benjamin Netanyahu's of the world, who will portray themselves as beneficent and charitable in order to insinuate themselves into our civilization while not believing anything and thinking that we're absolute suckers that deserve what we get because they don't even have to try to get it over on us. So when he says that, you know, the West is falling because the democracies have, you know, forgotten how to fit, they're right. He's right about that. We have let these people like Benjamin Netanyahu take us over. We need to have a more barbarous reaction to it. We do need to have a more savage reaction to it. We are in a life and death struggle with extremely evil enemies like Benjamin Netanyahu. We do have to take the gloves off. We do have to rip the Band-Aid off. We do have to re-exert some of the civilizational defenses that have been deliberately stripped away from us in the past from the Benjamin Netanyahu's out there that are at this moment telling us that we have to submit to them or else what? Or else what? What are they going to do? Oh, nothing? Oh, it's only because we've chosen not to exert our power? And now here he is telling us that's the whole problem in the first place. That's why Israel can dog walk us, even though they're this small little insignificant genocidal state. It's time for us to stand up and reassert our power and crush these rats into the dirt like they deserve. God bless you all.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.